Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome. It is episode 74 of Eurobash with yours truly, PT Carroll, and the one and only Niall McGrath. It has been a tumultuous week in MMA, in sport, around the world in general, as coronavirus gets the grips of the globe. But we are here, as always, to take you through the latest thrills and spills from the scene. Niall McGrath, how have you been, my friend?
I'm good, man. I'm good, considering the circumstances. Been a busy day, to say the least, today. And obviously, you know, I don't know. Have I woken up from this dream yet that is the coronavirus, and how much it's escalated since we even spoke about it last week? It's pretty fucked up, man. But just trying to get my head around everything, really.
Yes, absolutely. So much has happened. Indeed, so much has happened that this is the second time we will be recording Eurobash today, because we recorded about 4 hours ago and everything seems to have turned on its head in that time. So we had to come back on because we were very out of context when we discussed what was discussed on the original show. So we had to come back. I mean, incredible day. I seem every day just feels like there is a month's worth of news in it at the moment with this situation. Something that we've never dealt with before, obviously something that's very serious and something that's changing the way we live day to day, I suppose, Niall.
Oh man, yeah, 100%. Like, I'm shitting myself going over to the shop, you know what I mean? it's mad. I could actually do with a shit as well, you know, or something. That's a personal joke between myself and BT. But it's just mad, man. It's crazy. It's affecting everyone. It's affecting, you know, you look at Italy, like it's just horrifying. It's just incredible. People just need to listen to the government, do as they say. Quit reading and sending shite on WhatsApp. That's really bugging me. False information. So go to like Twitter, Facebook, reputable governmental organizations to get your information. It needs to be taken incredibly seriously, and it isn't, as we might saw here there, you know, last weekend with a huge amount of people flocking Temple Bar and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was saying this to you earlier, the way WhatsApp has reacted to coronavirus gives a great insight into what it is to be an MMA journalist from Ireland, with the amount of Conor McGregor stories one hears. I don't know how he manages to be in every corner of Ireland at one time every weekend, but that's certainly what it feels like when you're getting pinged out of on WhatsApp every weekend.
Definitely.
But am I going to try and run through these headlines again? I think I'm going to get lost, to be honest, because we've been cutting things out, adding things in all day here. So let's give it a go anyway. Here's the headlines. UFC London, UFC Portland. Well, all the UFC events for the next month have been cancelled due to coronavirus. KSW 53 has been cancelled due to coronavirus. Bellator 241 cancelled at the 11th hour last weekend due to the spread of coronavirus. Leon Edwards has withdrawn from the potential makeshift bout with Tyron Woodley via social media. Cage Warriors has moved to Manchester after AEG pulled their venues on Monday. David Martinez, who was meant to fly to England to fight Paddy Pimblett on the night, was unable to fly due to the coronavirus curfew in Italy. And Paddy Pimblett now faces Decky Dalton, a huge fight there. Joe McColgan will now face Mason Jones for the vacant Cage Warriors title, which is an incredibly interesting fight. Both guys lost their opponents, but I think you'll agree, no, that's a far more interesting fight from my point of view. John Phillips v. Dzyko Todorovic has been added to Cage Warriors. a bout that was supposed to happen on the UFC London card, now happening on Cage Warriors in Manchester, not London, as we have just learned. Wow. Noel, how did I get on there? Did I get you all right? That is...
You did well. The boy done well, as they say. The boy done well.
It's absolutely mental. I just can't get over the amount of developing stories here. And just before we've got on here to re-record the episode, yeah. Dana White's been on to say that Tony Ferguson and Khabib Nurmagomedov is definitely happening. Is this wild talk at this stage, given the situation, how it's developing, and how we really don't know the scale of things to come down the line here? And I mean, is it a bit too much to be doing this, or is he doing his job by getting his face out there on SportsCenter, as we saw there, the biggest show in sports?
Dana's a head case. I think we just have to, you know, understand that. We've seen some of his behavior over the years, and it's probably batshit crazy. You know, he's done everything in his power to try and put on these fights. Like, the talk was, he said in that interview a few minutes ago as well, he'd Indian Reserve booked in Oklahoma. That's very unlike Dana to do something like that. So that just says where his mindset's at. That's Bellator territory, where he's going with some of those events where he was planning them. So Donald Trump has obviously said that in America, they don't want people in more than groups of 10 hanging out together. So in terms of Tony and Khabib, you know, I said it, you know, it's a fight he's always going to push for, man. It's the biggest fight in UFC history. And I think the way we see the market now at the moment, with no sports being live on television, Dana sees this as marketing 101 and promotion 101, where he can put the UFC in the world spotlight, the only live sporting event that's taking place. And, like, listen, I get cravings for sport. Everyone would fucking tune into that. The numbers would be out of control. And he's still saying it's going to go ahead, possibly out of the United States, as you mentioned there. And, you know, my thought was Russia, but apparently Russia have now a ban until the 1st of May on their borders. So that's going to be interesting to see if that pans out, if the date's going to be changed, anything like that. I'm not so sure. But Dana is a mad sprout, and I think that's probably the bottom line to all of this. And, you know, I do give him credit. You know, in some ways it is sort of genius promotion to think like that, even regarding the circumstances. I'm very much torn on all this, and, you know, probably shouldn't be going ahead, but that's in terms of Cage Warriors or any sort of events at the moment. But listen, Dana White is Dana White. He does what he wants.
Yeah. And we'll talk about how it's been compared to other sports and the possible impact that we'll have later on in the show. But just, you mentioned it there, Cage Warriors in Manchester. Graham Boylan's on the show today, but we did speak to him earlier on in the day before the news of...
Oh, it's been moved again. It's been moved again. Hang on. It's been moved to Limerick. I'm joking.
Oh my god! I thought you were serious there, man. I was like, "What the fuck?" Yeah, but look, this is crazy. This has gone mad now. You know, initially at the start of the day, we're talking about Cage Warriors being put behind closed doors. The addition of Phillips' fight onto the card, it goes to that from Darren Stewart. As he says on the show, we put that out as soon as we got it, and then it's, the event is off, it's no longer in London, and now it's in Manchester. I mean, that's going to have an impact straight away. Like, I can see, like, some Londoners going, like, I'm not doing that, I'm not gonna travel to that, you know? I don't know, like, I just feel like it's such a late change in the game here. Now, as I said, we did speak to Graham, but that was before this had happened. And look, he's determined to put on this show. The way he sees it, like, his fighters want to get paid. We should recognize the difference between UFC and Bellator, the financial backing they have, and Cage Warriors, which is very much a grassroots organization, which Graham has been at the helm of for a long time. If they don't have an event, they have no revenue. They need to have get these fighters paid, get the money to get them paid. So that's basically what he told us when he came on here. But is this gone a bit too far now with the Manchester situation, though?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, as you mentioned there. You know, if some fighters are even in the UK going to willing to travel up and participate in it, because it's just like, you know, travel restrictions in place, it's going to be very, very difficult. So I think this is going to go right down to the wire. I just hope we don't get to a case again where, you know, guys weigh in like we saw at Bellator and, you know, everything being called off at the last minute. That's sort of a nightmare scenario. But listen, everything is literally changing, we said, from minute to minute. It's just been a mental day. It's been a mental week. And I think I'm sort of, I'm at peace with whatever happens at the moment, to be honest with you. I just don't really have, I'm just so conflicted, is the issue.
I think the unpredictability of how it's been and how erratic it's been is nearly exhausting. You know what I mean? Like the fact that it's on, it's off, it's going here, it's over there. This person, you know, it's all over the place, and it's just a very different landscape at the moment. It just becomes very confusing at some points. But is Graham doing the same thing as Dana essentially? Because he's featured on all these sites now. Like he's one of the biggest stories in MMA at the moment because of this event. Is that a similar thing? You see the boat kind of putting themselves out there as a promoter here.
100%. They're pushing their sport to new audiences and new heights. That's exactly what they're trying to do here. And listen, all promoters are a little bit batshit crazy, and you know, I think we know Graham is as well. You know, I like
it feels
Graham.
Like a 30 for 30 nearly, right? Like it feels like it could be a story in one of them if it goes well. But I think this whole thing is going to be judged on how bad this gets. Like if this gets really bad, and we're looking back in time at this, and we're going, Jesus, what are we thinking? You know, it could be a bad one.
Yeah, it's one
but
way.
I guess we don't know, right?
It's gone one way or the other. You know, I don't think. You know, if Dana's trying to put on Tony Khabib and he gets that over the line, like, I don't think anything bad is going to come of that. If those two throw down, I think he, you know, as you mentioned, 30 for 30, that's going to look back in like 50 years' time. The night UFC and CWFC collided against all odds, it could be a heroic story or it could be a fucking absolute disaster, one or the other. It's one of those ones. But I've just seen I have to read this out to you. An unnamed MMA agent has said, rumor has it UFC is entertaining an option of chartering a mega yacht to hold Team Khabib versus Tony Ferguson on international waters. Yes, I started this rumor, but maybe it's crazy enough to pull off. What the fuck?
Well, that's just a random dude taking the piss then. Stop stirring up this nonsense.
Not a bad idea.
But it's just, it's so crazy, right? It's just insane.
Well, I wouldn't put it past them at this stage, what's gone on the last week.
But isn't it like, it's like hard to even think about this stuff. Like this coronavirus thing is real and it's significant. We're all here talking about Khabib and Tony. It's like, you know, this is crazy.
Maybe it hasn't hit home with the Americans yet. Like Donald Trump was in total denial until literally the last couple of days about it. He said it was a hoax a week ago.
Before we re-recorded, like we had to do it. Like he seems to be taking this a lot more seriously now with this 10 in a building kind of situation, right?
Exactly. Well, that's my point. Like maybe, because I noticed that a big shift last week, we seemed to be way more panicked about it here. Obviously what was going on in Italy and Spain and the spread of the virus. And it was interesting to note, I think it was last Wednesday or Thursday, something happened. I think, what was it with the announcement of the UFC London card being pulled? And then just the Americans just went, "Whoa, something's going on here. Something's happened." And it's just really escalated in the States since then. There's a lot more talk about it. They were sort of later to the party. I shouldn't really say the party, but you know what I mean? Later to really realizing how serious it was, probably because of their president, Donald Trump.
Let's not get too political now, okay?
Fair enough, Pete.
But look, let's get on with the first interview of the day. It's Martin Lewandowski, a man who pulled KSW 53 the day after we recorded Eurobash. The day after we released Eurobash. It was on Wednesday of last week. He basically talked us through what led to the decision to do that, and we talked a bit about the UFC's delay in cancelling his events. At the time of the recording, UFC had yet to cancel those events for the next month, so I got his take on that up to that point. Great to speak to Martin. Obviously, very personal concerns on his mind as well as his business concerns, but great to get the perspective of the promoter in this situation, and frank and honest as always was Mr. Lewandowski. We are now joined with one of the kings of European MMA, the great Martin Lewandowski, of KSW fame, of course, and
this was one of the first major promotions across Europe to call an event off in light of the coronavirus. It happened last Wednesday, and of course we were all looking forward very much to KSW 53, but in the interest of the public safety and his athletes and his staff, Mr. Lewandowski and co decided to cancel the event. But maybe Martin, you can tell us what led to the cancellation of the event. There was a lot of talk that it might happen behind closed doors. What was the straw that broke the camel's back to make you guys cancel the event?
Yeah, hello everyone. Yeah, it's been like nearly a very nervous month. We've been looking, you know, at the news and trying to figure out and trying to have a plan B in case we have to cancel. Unfortunately, we were forced to do it because of the situation. And also in Poland, it's been, you know, everybody right now on the isolation and all the massive events were canceled. We thought and we had like an alternative option. If, for example, the massive event will be canceled, so we do the show without the public. But then another circumstances were known that in different countries the coronavirus were so strong, so also that it comes to, you know, that kind of option that we can't mix fighters from different countries. So all our main events were exactly like, you know, mixture of different part of the world. So it was useless to do it, and it was pointless, and it was too risky in terms of putting, you know, even the fighters and the team close to each other. So we decided to cancel the KSW 53. The KSW 54 is already canceled, and we are waiting if the May show will be on, or we have to postpone it, or we have to cancel. So we'll see. But that's, you know, I'm watching news every day, a couple times a day, and trying to figure out what to do next. But of course, you have to be prepared. I mean, every businessman, every person who runs any kind of business has to monitor this and have in the back of the head some alternative options.
How bad is this for a business? I mean, you guys famously have built KSW from the ground up. You guys are famous in MMA circles for, you know, how your business minds and how you put on these huge, huge events that mean so much to the Polish people and greater European fan base now at the moment. But how much of a blow is this to KSW having to cancel these two events?
Of course, it's like, I can't even tell right now because it depends how long we need to isolate ourselves from doing the business. If it's going to last a month or two, you know, so there will be, it won't be a huge impact. But if it's going to stay like, I don't know, a half a year or a year, of course you need to change your business model, or you need to find a different field to gather some income. So it's a kind of a good kind of exercise for the brain, you know, to find a way with so many obstacles. I'm not saying that I'm happy because of that, but I'm saying that this is kind of challenging. But so right now there is no huge impact beside the sorrow, beside of, you know, being sad, beside of, you know, paying the bills for nothing, and beside, you know, disappointing fighters, because you had to cancel, you had to postpone it. So people who were involved, they need to wait what next, and I can't tell them right now because in Poland it's like 2 weeks isolation quarantine, so it might be longer than that. So really, of course, you know, you need to, that's what I said before, you need to find the different options, but it's hard to tell what and how the world will look like within weeks.
Absolutely. You mentioned the challenge of this situation. Would you say this is one of the more challenging things you've encountered as a businessman and as a promoter?
Yeah, I think yes. You know, I've been in the business more than, I mean, 16 years already. So I think that's the most challenging, because to be honest, not much depends on us. You know, it's more, it's like usually when the problems I'm facing as a promoter was something I could handle better, worse, or you know, but it was in my hands, the solution. Here, it's just like you can't control this virus. You can't, I mean, of course you can, because that's what the governments are doing, but still you are depend on what the global situation, how the virus will grow, will develop, or how, you know, the economy, global economy. We are living in the world when everything is connected. So, you know, problem in China will affect all countries around the globe, you know, the isolation of UK or, you know, so there are so many businesses which are linked. So it's really, it will be a, that's what I say, a new world. And I think that people will come with that a bit stronger and a bit more with a different
point of view.
I don't know how to say, yeah, point of view. And let maybe, you know, we will, change this some our habits in a better way. That's what I'm counting. Maybe I'm thinking too positive, but
no,
come back to your question.
It's a good way to think.
Yeah, but that's the way I'm thinking. But maybe it's, sometimes it's naive, you know, that you are expecting that people are going to wake up. And, you know, I mean, we are talking about the MMA, but just global, you know, the global problems, you know, are more important than our small, you know, piece of job we are doing. You know what I mean? So it's like we need to look in the bigger picture in many ways. And we forget about that. So,
yes.
Yeah, but come back to your question. This is the most challenging because actually, you know, you have very little options to do, or you are completely all in, like more than 50% depends on what's going to happen in the world globally or what the government is going to tell you. So it's like, you know, it's like, it's hard, it's tough.
You know, what has the reaction been like to you guys? Obviously, you guys mean so much to so many people, and this event was going to be huge. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, you had the return of Gamrot, Materla, as well as these title fights with Roberto Soldic, one of my favorite prospects in international sport. What was the reaction when you guys had to cancel this? What did the Polish people say?
I mean, there were kind of two steps. First, we tried to renegotiate with the fighters, you know, trying to save the event when there was the time when we thought the event or any kind of gathering will be allowed in Poland. And some of the fighters, to be honest, like kind of reacted, oh, why should I, you know, give something back? You know, it's not my fault. I spent so much, so many times or weeks, you know, in preparation. But I said, listen, but, you know, it affects me also. Why should I pay by myself? I think in this case, you know, the circumstances, everyone should feel that has to pay, like, you know. So it's not only the promoter. I know that everybody expecting that everybody, that promoters are going to cover all the costs and will be the most noble man in the world and everything. But, you know, sometimes you need to stay on the ground and make your maths. Mm. So that was the first impression I had. And I was shocked with some fighters that they didn't understood how serious the thing is.
Was that but an attempt like maybe because you couldn't take the... Look, at this stage, I'm thinking you're probably thinking you can't bring the public to this event, so you were asking them to maybe take a smaller wage. Is that what was happening?
Yeah, of course. We said, listen, because this is not the situation, which is not going to happen only for this event, because if that would be this event, no problem. We postponed it or we pay you full price or something, you know, but this is the world we're going to face for another two or three or maybe even longer, you know. So we need to find a bit different business model. So it can't be that I'm paying the full price to everyone if I don't get my full price back, you know. Yes. If my income is like, you know, it's like silly, you know, or now is zero. And to be honest, I'm preparing that half a year, I'm going to have a zero income, and I'm prepared for that to survive, you know. But still, you know, if the time will be, you know, close the borders, the borders will be closed, and the massive events will be canceled, and people can't move, can't fight, can't close, can't touch, you know. So that was, So then we need to find a different model. I don't know, maybe they will organize show in England only when the English are going to be fighting. And yes. in Ireland where Irish only, and Polish and Croatia only Croatian, you know. So maybe that would be the crazy one. But
that would be insane.
It will be, yeah. And the second, but the when we cancel and people realize after it was, I don't know, it went so fast. I think it was like 2 or 3 days. And when we came back with the fighters and the teams and the managers that we have to cancel, everybody, but really, literally everybody understood and said, oh, yes, shit, I know, I'm sorry. You know, I understand. So everybody knew. I think sometimes you just need to give a little bit more time people to understand the situation and how serious it was. You know, we've been dealing with it maybe a bit closer and longer. That's why we understood.
Yes.
You know, and people were kind of, oh no, I can deal with it, no problem. You know, we'll find a way. But unfortunately, you know, we couldn't, and nobody can right now in the world. Everybody is canceling, and it's like something which is what is called major force. No, what it's called, there is a special word for
I don't know
for that. It's more like a yeah.
You've caught me off guard now. You have nearly got better English than me, for God's sake, Martin. I can't even think of a word. But I wanted
it's
to
kind
ask,
of higher power, you know what I mean? It's like something which is it's just bigger than all of us.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm guessing, like, because as you've mentioned, you know, there is no income coming in at the moment. I wonder, like, did any of the fighters get compensated that were set to compete at KSW 53, or were you
not
unable to do that?
No. It wasn't for the show. Well, we've been thinking about, you know, some program for the fighters, but not, you know, it was too fast to you know, it just counts.
Absolutely.
You know, pay everybody, because that's what I said, you know, it just, you have to, I mean, that's from my point of view, that everybody has to face it and everybody has to pay the price. That's what I say. I'm not using this situation for anything else. It's just like, you know, you need to be realistic. Of course, you can stay and tell, you know, everybody that you are going to cover all the costs. But this is, you know, it shouldn't be the way, that way.
Mm. I wanted to ask you, like, I mean, I think a lot of people commended you guys for pulling the event in light of how everything has developed since then. I mean, this is a global pandemic, of course, but UFC have come into a lot of criticism for, you know, Dana White's comments that, you know, they're going to keep the show going as long as they can. They're not going to let the coronavirus stop them. A lot of people feel, when you compare this to other sporting entities around the world, like NFN, NFL, NBA, Premier League Soccer, all of these events have been pulled, but UFC, who are the flagship brand of the sport, are continuing. How do you feel about that? Do you feel as though with such a situation as we've talked about here, that they should be pulling the events in the interest of their athletes and their staff?
For sure, but I think when Dana was saying that, I think it was the time when we all thought that we can handle this problem somehow, that we can do it without the public, we can, you know, bring some, I don't know, additional medical staff, or make some precautions to run these events. And that was also our thinking, that we are going to live somehow, we are going to modify our events, we are going to modify our logistics. We are not going to, for example, bring the fighters from countries where already the coronavirus was, you know, in a bigger scale. But I think, of course, it's hard for me to tell because I wasn't following, you know, this conversation when and what exactly Dana said. But I think, you know, when he approached the problem, so every businessman tried to find a way. It's just like a river. You see the obstacles and you avoiding, or you finding a new entry. But then he realized that it's like, that's what I said, it's bigger, and some problems you need to face, and you need to just accept it. So I don't know. I still know that they are looking for some new location, but I don't know if that would be possible, or if it would be. So it would be like I said, that only English are going to fight with English guys, you know. So maybe that would be the only option, especially that the UK is trying to implement some new solution, trying to infect as many people as possible and see how it goes, you know, and just like, you know, these are crazy. Yeah, yeah. So maybe that's the way, you know, from my point of view, actually, if the real statistics says that the most endangered are the elder people, so we should maybe isolate only them, you know, and to prepare their special places. I'm not talking about, you know, but, you know, like, because these guys or these people are going to be, or they are in the most trouble. Like, my, for example, my parents, they are over 80, so they are really in isolation, staying at, you know, home, seeing nobody, and, you know, they will need to survive like a month or even longer than that.
Yes.
It's because, you know, I think that it is, especially for me. It's like, you know, the serious problem is the medical problem. But, and this is what we are. This is like a phase one. But the phase two would be the economic, you know, economy and economical problem, because it affects everybody in my country, in Asia, in US, in whenever, you know, wherever. It's just like it affects every business. There are a few branches who will doing fine because of this coronavirus, but most of them, like 95%, will suffer, and we have to deal with that. There's no way, you know, you can do something with it.
Absolutely.
100%, you know what I mean?
Yes, Martin, I can't thank you enough for getting on and joining us. I promise you that all of European MMA are behind KSW. We want to see you guys back as soon as possible. And best wishes to your family. I hope you guys stay very safe over there. And again, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for the interest. And yes, this year we were planning to come back to England and Croatia and maybe new country on our MMA KSW map. So amazing. Hopefully we can achieve that. Thank you for your time.
Yes, yes. We will hopefully see KSW up running again in 2 months' time, Martin. Thanks again.
All right. Thank you, Peter.
Bye-bye.
All the best to you. Bye-bye.
Great to speak to Mr. Lewandowski. A James Bond villain, as we always describe him, isn't it, Noel? But a very friendly one.
Yeah. Nah, he does. He always reminds me of that Eastern European or Central European James Bond gangster villain that ends up getting...
He's a cool dude, no doubt about it.
Slick man.
He is indeed. Look, let's talk about it. I asked Martin about it there. UFC has since cancelled the events, but it was a long time between the cancellation of major sports, say the US in Europe as well, and the UFC's decision to do that. Does that look bad in light of the UFC trying to be accepted as a mainstream sport? Or is this in-between area that they're trying to occupy here where they will prevail, so to speak?
Yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, KSW were the first promotion really to cancel their events. Aries maybe before them, then KSW.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But as I said there earlier on, I think America was maybe a little bit behind in realizing how serious this situation was because of what Donald Trump was saying, and there was nothing really being done about it. We were... sort of maybe.
Okay, but the NFL, the NBA, all these guys,
that's true.
You know, they were significantly earlier. That's just, I mean, that's the whole argument, I guess. Like, I guess they see a kind of a social responsibility, yeah. Right? Like, even when we see Wayne Rooney talking about this, he's like, we'll be ready to play again when we know it's safe for the players, for the fans. Whereas it's like the UFC. You know, when we're even talking about the fact that it doesn't look good, I mean, this event could be cancelled. Mm. You can see the nerves in the fighters, you know, and obviously they're dependent on that check. And, you know, that's absolutely understandable. And they're getting nervous about it. And there's so much talk and there's already so much fear in the air with this coronavirus. I mean, does it come down to, like, you know, if these guys were getting paid enough, they'd have the same kind of view as the likes of Rooney, who are saying, like, we're ready to go when it's safe, rather than I need to get paid.
Yeah, I got you. And I think, listen, we know the UFC have never had a good track record of treating their fighters particularly well. I think that goes back as far as the Reebok implementation when they had to wear the Reebok apparel. And, you know, I mentioned Ian McCall to you earlier on. We were speaking at this off air. Ian McCall was a guy who lost out in $60,000 per fight once the Reebok deal came in. There was other guys probably on more. And
Brendan Schaub, $7 million or something. He said he lost out on, was it?
Crazy.
And like that.
Like the sponsor figures were mental beforehand, and they were getting like literally 1/10 of that. So, listen, it's not surprising. I'm presuming the fighters are going to get their show money for the London card. That's yet to be determined. Dana really hasn't come out and said anything yet about that, but you presume so. It doesn't surprise me, and I think Dana's sort of in the bracket of he just doesn't give a fuck, man. It's all about him and his big fighters and what the UFC and how far the UFC can go as this juggernaut behind WME, IMG. And that's why I think we're going to see Tony Habib. But I know I'm going back to it again because of that reason. Because it's just almost like he has a statement to prove to everyone else. He's like a man on a mission. And it is wild. And it's upsetting. But from the fighter's point of view as well, you know, I think they should handle that a lot better in terms of actually telling the fighters, you know, the fight card was off. Like, I saw numerous amount of fighters posting that they'd learnt off social media that the fight was off. Like, that's not on. That's not acceptable. It really isn't.
Yeah, I was speaking to some fighters that didn't really understand what the story is. You know, and look, we're going to be talking to Jack Shore later. He'll give you a good idea of what it was like to be in this situation. Not that he's all too critical. You know, Jack is a very easygoing guy. But, you know, Bellator should be commended, right? I know it wasn't the right timing, but, you know, should they be commended for coming out, cancelling this event, you know, for fear of, you know, spreading this to staffers or fighters and obviously paying the people as well. Do you think that looks, in light of what the UFC have done, only cancelling events today, and only when they've really been forced into it, do you think that looks good on their part?
It does, but you know, we need to change this mindset. You know, fighters for that card went in, they made weight. You know, once you make weight, you should be paid, in my opinion, in mixed martial arts. I know it's not the case, but it's sort of the mindset everyone has and the approach to it, you know. Why are we constantly talking about these guys getting paid? Like, they should be paid. It's fucking ridiculous. I know it's not the case, but I think there was a bit of a hullabaloo attitude with a lot of sort of people who are affiliated with Bellator. Oh, look how great we are. Look how great. No, this is what you should be doing. Yes, commend you all the same, but this is what you should be doing. This is what mixed martial arts should be implemented across the board. So I thought maybe it was a little bit of a jibe, you know, maybe at the UFC from some of the brass there, because there was a lot of posts, man. It was
in
your face left and right.
I felt like, I mean, the fighters were doing it, the managers were doing it, and I thought they were actually doing that to prompt UFC into, you know, as if to say, this is the standard, like, you better do this. Like, and I mean, it seems like everyone I've talked to is confident that the UFC will compensate the fighters in some manner, and I definitely hope that's true, of course. But,
definitely, man, definitely.
You know, and look, I agree with you in the fact that we shouldn't be patting people on the back for paying people. But paying people is one thing for Bellator and a UFC, but it is a different thing for, say, a Cage Warriors, which is starting up. Like, I mean, it's just so difficult to unpack each situation, isn't it? It's so different, unique to each promotion. What happens to Tyron Woodley and Colby now, by the way? Is that just off the table now?
Well, Tyron has come out and said that that's going to be his next fight. He wants Colby. Leon Edwards
that's
has posted
good for Leon.
Yeah, Leon has posted a few minutes ago saying basically, Colby, you're a bitch. We need to run this back. Myself and Tyron need to have this fight. So, you know, Woodley's head has turned again, and it took a lot to even try and get him over to London. I know he didn't get there, but I don't know, man. I think Leon's just cursed at this point.
Why is he being punished for this? Like, this is ridiculous. Like, first of all,
it is mad.
You know, they've eventually cancelled this event. So all the other stuff that happened in between this Colby Tyron situation, it's ridiculous. We're going to move it to here, blah, blah, blah. It couldn't have happened. So why does it feel like this guy's getting punished for it? But not only by Woodley, but, you know, for Leon having to come out and say that, and then, what, 12 hours later or something, the UFC come out and cancel the event? I mean, 24 hours probably. But, I mean, it seems like they've let it all kind of sit in him. And I see people jumping in the comments, idiots. Like, this is way more serious than we're kind of giving it credit for right now, I believe. And, like, it's better to be cautious probably in these situations, you know? So, yeah. I mean, if this is an elite athlete, top of the food chain, welterweight, knocking on the door of a title, and, you know, he's kind of left out there by himself to kind of explain that away, which I thought was bad form. There's better ways to do that, I think, as you were saying to me earlier.
Mm. Yeah, no, it's mental. You know, the UFC, if he was main eventing, you know, if they were going to bring him overseas, you know, it's a big ask, man. Like, going over and fighting on a week's notice, jet lag, everything, visas, no guarantee of him getting back to the UK. And they've really just sort of thrown him under the bus. And it's just typical of Dana White and the kind of actions he shows towards his fighters. And it's not acceptable. But again, you know, what's going to be done about it? Like nothing. It's just a sad reality of the way the UFC is at the moment in terms of the relationship between the top brass and the fighters. And listen, I wouldn't be surprised if they go ahead now and do Colby Covington and Tyron Woodley ahead of Leon getting that shot at Tyron Woodley.
I'm sick for him, man. Yeah, like, I really am. It's just, it's so bad the way that's been handled. It really is. But look, let's move on to our second interview of the day. It's Jack Shore. Again, same applies to our interview with Jack. These were done before the official cancellation of the events. Jack obviously says he didn't expect to fight anyway, but just to give you some type of context here. So look, we'll get on to Jack now, and we'll be back in about 15 minutes to take a look at what happened in that bizarre backdrop in Brasilia over the weekend.
We're now joined by one of the most talked about prospects fighting out of Europe. Jack Shore, who was set for a huge, huge bout this weekend at UFC London, where he's set to take on Geraldo de Freitas. Unfortunately, as we're learning, it looks less and less likely that fight will go down. But Jack, first of all, how are you? I can imagine this has been a hugely tumultuous week for you with everything that's happened.
Yeah, I mean, physically, I'm all good. It's obviously been a tough couple of days mentally since about sort of Wednesday, really. Just based on looking at the news and Twitter and stuff like that, I sort of had an idea that things weren't going to run smoothly. And then obviously yesterday we got the news of everything. So it's been a stressful week, but you know, I'm fit and healthy, so I can't complain, I don't suppose.
Yes, yes. I was going to say to you, we got an email yesterday from the UFC. And it basically stated that, that it wouldn't be going down, but they said it will be relocated. And we were hoping against hope that somehow you guys would still be able to fight, because when we were kind of, we were putting out that, you know, we thought this event would be cancelled, it seemed like the fighters really wanted to compete. They wanted to be able to earn their money. Was there any talk of your bout with Geraldo being relocated, or do you think that was specifically just Woodley and Edwards they were talking about there?
Yeah, so I think it was probably when the announcement came out, I think it was more along the lines of Woodley and Edwards. Obviously, I know the straight away when I heard about the relocation to the US, straight away I knew that wasn't really going to be a sort of a logistical option, just based on the fact with the travel ban and stuff. And obviously,
you need a
visa to go over there, and that can be sometimes a 10-day turnaround. So pretty much I would have had to get a visa and then board a plane by sort of last night, the early hours of this morning for that to happen. But that would never seem like it was really an option. They never sort of they never came to me then and said, look, we're going to try and move your fight to the US. And I can imagine, obviously, Woodley and Edwards being the main event was probably their priority. So, you know, I'm not salty or anything about them not making them a big effort to get me out there, sort of thing. It's just one of them things. I mean, what can you do? It's sort of out of everyone's hands, I suppose, at the minute.
Yeah, I mean, I'm once again in awe of how level-headed you are in this situation. You're so young. Obviously, this would have been one of the biggest fights of your life on that main card in London. Look, there's no secrets about it. Your name has been huge since you made your debut. I see it all over the biggest US publications, everything like that. But it seems like to me that you're kind of aware that, you know, this is a global situation here at the moment. And, you know, your fight was a lot smaller in the grander scheme of things in terms of this global pandemic. Is that how you're feeling?
Yeah, without a doubt. Obviously, I'm just as gutted as everyone else on the card ought to be fighting. Obviously, I'm one of them. I live and breathe the fight life, sort of thing. You know, I'm never out of the gym. I've had this fight on my mind now since just before Christmas. So, you know, 3 months, 4 months sort of thing. It's a big part. It's all you're thinking about every minute of every day. So for them to just sort of, that would just be taken from you then when it's so close to happening is obviously heartbreaking. But at the same time, it's out of my control. It's out of the UFC's control. I mean, what can you do? It's no point crying over spilt milk. Like, you sit here and bitch and moan and see how pissed off I am and start slagging people off. But that's not going to get the fight back. That doesn't mean it's not going to change things. It's not going to make me fight Saturday. So it's just one of them things.
Were you in the kind of situation where you were hoping against hope that it would happen? Or was it one of those things that when you realized how big this was and how contagious the situation was, where you were like, okay, if this doesn't happen, it's not the end of the world?
I mean, obviously I was praying and hoping that somehow we came off. I think it was sort of Wednesday time all the news started dropping about this coronavirus getting serious and everything. So I sort of had it in the back of my head that there might be some issues, but I, especially after the Brazil event going on, I still had that little bit of faith that they might be able to pull it off, even if it was behind closed doors. I even trained yesterday morning, Sunday morning, it was still in the mindset of bringing the weight down. We're fighting Wayne Friday and we're fighting Saturday, but then obviously it was a couple of hours after the session. Then I spoke to Graham. He said they were trying to sort a few things, but it never came off. And I think there's a lot of people on the card who are in the same boat. So again, it's just one of them things. There's no point me sitting here and moaning about it. It's not going to change anything.
Yes, yeah, it seems like, you know, and look, you can understand the UFC are scrambling to make things happen, not only in, you know, for the likes of Leon and Tyron, but for the next few weeks. I'd say it's just wild there in HQ. But have you guys had any communication? Like, do you feel disgruntled at all? I feel as though some people haven't had any word from the UFC, and it's annoying them. Are you kind of, you know, based on the situation, you kind of understand what's going on?
Yes, I mean, I haven't spoke to the UFC direct. Obviously, Graham sorts all that for me, being my manager. I just, you know, that's what I pay him for. I let him sort of take on all the stress and just relay the message back to me. But I know he's spoken to them. Again, it's a tough one because I suppose they can't set nothing in stone. You know, they can't say, look, we'll get him a fight in 4 weeks, 6 weeks, because we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I keep up to date online and stuff. I know the Vegas Commission have got a meeting on the 25th. And the way things are going, it wouldn't surprise me to see that they obviously cancel all the big events out there as well. So, I mean, it could be a matter of they say, look, you're fighting in 4 weeks. But worst case, I suppose it could be a couple of months before I get out again. But I just got to stay in the gym and I'll stay mentally positive. And I'm just keep my fingers crossed a weekend and get the show back on the road sooner rather than later.
I guess, you know, it's been announced today that Graham, who seems to not be sleeping at the moment, has also got John Phillips, his fight from the UFC card, onto the Cage Warriors card, which is a really interesting move. And I can imagine that some of the fighters that, you know, UK v UK, they're going to be able to make that happen. Of course, Geraldo doesn't live in the UK. Like, I mean, is that beyond the realms of possibility, having you fight a return to Cage Warriors, an impromptu return of some kind?
Yeah, well, obviously they said to Graham sort of give, he didn't go into the details of who was fighting on the card or whatever. He said to me yesterday, early in the morning, or he was trying to make some fights happen on Cage Warriors, or he had put the idea for the UFC. I don't even think it had got to the stage that they gave him the all clear on it. But he obviously, you know, it's his job to be realistic with me, and I knew straight away. Obviously, my guy being from Brazil, I know he wasn't over. If he was over here, then maybe we could have made it happen. But obviously, I know they don't sort of come over till the Monday, Tuesday. So I had a good idea, you know, that fight they wouldn't get us on the Cage Warriors card. I mean, if they come to me with that option, it wouldn't have been, you know, mentally it wouldn't have been ideal. I'm in the mindset now of, you know, I'm in the UFC. I want to fight in the UFC cage in front of the UFC fans. But I mean, I would have done it just to get a fight, you know, get sort of your chance to get that win bonus and everything. But at the end of the day, you know, Alf comes first, and I can't whinge over something that's out of my control. If they could have got me on the Cage Warriors card, great, but it wouldn't have been. So there's no point me complaining and whinge. You know, it's not Graham's fault. It's no one's fault, really. The logistics of it just didn't work, obviously, with me fighting a Brazilian opponent who's still in Brazil.
Yes. Are you confident you'll be compensated in some way for this, Jack? Because, as you said, you know, this is 3 months preparing for this fight. Obviously, you know, you're such a well-known quantity, a lot of people very vested in what happens to you next, your next fight. Do you feel as though the UFC will compensate you in some way for the camp?
Yeah, I think they will. I had a little chat with Graham about it. I mean, I don't think anything's set in stone, but he's fairly confident that they will compensate. I mean, it would make a massive difference to all us fighters, wouldn't it? I mean, not just me. I know everyone on the card puts a lot of time and money into these camps. And you know, I'm fortunate that you know I haven't got no kids or nothing like that I got to worry about. But there's obviously people on the card who got families they got to feed, and this is, you know, fighting is the way that they feed their families. So fingers crossed those guys get, even if they get compensated a little bit more than I do. I mean, it wouldn't bother me at all. It's a tough situation for everyone to be in, especially with, you know, the what is going on. I mean, we don't even know if we're going to be fighting within the next sort of 6-8 yes. weeks. It could even be longer than that, I suppose. So it would be nice to see, you know, the guys who got families to feed get that money and just to take care and give them a bit of security, I suppose. But I'm confident the UFC will do the right thing. I know Bellator did it, and you know, I can't see why they wouldn't. You know, they're always good. They look after the fighters, you know, during fight week and outside of fight week. So I mean, it's not our problem that you know, it's not our problem that the show's been cancelled, and it's not their problem either. So fingers crossed, they got enough money, they look after us.
You're so nice, Jack. I can't believe that. You're literally saying, pay these people more than me here. This is incredible. What's it like, though, in Wales? I mean, how has it affected the family? I mean, is your dad's gym, the gym still up and running? What's going on over there? Like, I mean, is it the state of panic that I find Dublin in on this Monday?
I think it's definitely getting worse. I mean, last week, the only real thing you were noticing was the toilet roll going from the shop. But
yes.
But obviously now there's people starting, there's talk of the schools being closed, and my dad works in a school, so there's talk of his school being closed. We have a message. I mean, at the minute, the gym is still up and running. We're working closely, obviously, with the schools and the council and the government and everything to see, you know, if they say we got to shut, then I suppose we got to shut. But it's definitely getting worse. People are starting to panic. You get that sense, you know what I mean? My sister was saying yesterday how stressed she was, and she couldn't believe how not unstressed I was. But
that doesn't surprise me at all, Jack, to be quite honest.
but you know, I mean, it's not something I think people are overreacting to it a little bit. But then, what the fuck do I know? I mean, if it's a global crisis like they're saying, I mean, it's affecting everyone. It seems to be affecting everyone in every country. Like you see, Dublin's on lockdown, so. I mean, it's obviously something that we should be concerned about, and we need to keep a close eye on. So it's just a matter of staying alert, keeping up to date, and just doing what we can for the time being.
I want to ask you about something that's, you know, maybe even more important than all of this stuff. I saw a picture of a haircut you had when you were about 17. And it blew my mind, and I actually didn't believe it was you. I texted you to ask you, was this true? You said yes, it was true, and I still didn't believe you. So I went and I contacted full Reptile, Jamie and James, and I was like, "Is this real?" And like, that's we have been led to believe that this is true.
the rumors are true.
This is this haircut. I can't really describe it as anything else other than say peak Rod Stewart in the 70s on Jack Shore. And talk to me about this, please. How did this come about? It just seems so far removed from the man that I've got to know over the last couple of years.
Well, listen, right? People always rip me because every year my birthday comes and every year the boys are posting fucking shit on my Facebook, resurfacing the picture. And obviously now I've got a bit of a following and a name. More and more people are seeing the picture. But back in the day, back when I was 16 in school, that was the deal. Like, everyone had the haircut. Every one of us in the school year looked the same. So they can rip me all they want, but deep down, all the boys know that they were deep in it with me as well. So
how long did it take to get your hair in such a manner? It's beautiful. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's manicured to perfection. I'm looking at, like, I've got terrible hair. I've got curly hair. It would never do that shit. I just want to know how long it took you to get it in that precision, beautiful and picturesque manner that you had it.
It was a complex process, let me tell you. That was the picture of me in the suit, that was the prom photo. So
right.
That was the big one. That was a good hour job to get up in that condition for that.
It looked amazing. Don't get me wrong. I thought it looked beautiful. But you've got a new haircut again, Jack. I mean, I was used to the haircut that you've had all the way through Cage Warriors, and then you've gone and you've shaved it off now, and I like it. I think it's a very, very new look, a bit more hardcore look, if you will, for Jack Shore. How has that been taken to by the masses in Wales? Are they enjoying the new look?
I think they're used to it now. It took, obviously, everyone's used to seeing my sweaty fringe hanging in my eyes, but I think they're all over it now. They're used to the skinhead, and I've even had a couple of the kids at the gym caught me and going on the same route. So as soon as I had it, Marshman and Dez and all that, they were all the same. They're like, oh, I don't know, I quite like it. I might go and get that done. So I think I might have set a trend. We'll give it a couple of weeks now. I think I was reliant, to be honest, on the appearance on BT Sport to get more and more people to embrace the skinhead. But I think obviously we're gonna have to wait a little bit on that one.
There's vicious rumors going around that you, in fact, have copied that haircut from your father and you're trying to steal his style.
Yeah. Well, I'm just embracing the inevitable. I think he's been bald since he was about my age. So I thought, you know what, I've still got a full head of hair, but it's just going to come sooner or later. It's just going to go. So I'm just going to get rid of it whilst I'm ahead of the curve.
right. Well, Jack.
Whilst I got a choice.
yes. Jack, an absolute pleasure. You, of course, hold more appearances on Eurobash than anyone else. You're the reigning champion of guests on Eurobash.
The reigning defending co-guest.
Yeah, and Niall fears for his job, I promise you, every day. Every time we have you on, he gets very worried. But look, man, I can't thank you enough for coming on. I hope everyone in your family and your friends is safe, and I think your attitude is fantastic as usual, exemplary as usual, Jack. Thank you so much.
No problem, Pete. Thanks for having me.
Great to hear from Jack Shore. Have you ever seen the picture of Jack Shore's hair when it was like Rod Stewart's in 1970s, you know, England or whatever?
He's never had a good haircut.
Rod Stewart?
Both of them.
How dare you on both counts. I'm going to get that picture and show you. I need to get it somehow. I'll ask the full Reptile guys, because that's who I saw sharing it. It haunts Jack Shore to this day anyway. But great sport, man. Jack just laughing, talking about it. You know, up to an hour, he said, it took him to get it done, this picture. So I definitely will get that for you guys and put it out there.
He's a good
guy. Oh, he's a legend. He's a great lad. And of course, the reigning champion of Eurobash, of course, now with appearances. We had to give him a break for a while. We thought he was going to start demanding a wage there, so we had to cut him loose for a little while. Great to have him back. But Niall, Brasilia, in the behind closed doors kind of situation, that backdrop, what did you think about it? I thought it was actually kind of interesting, to be honest.
Yeah, it was. There was a lot to sort of take away from it, and you know, I mentioned it earlier on when we recorded it the first time, that I was really intrigued with the judges and the scorecards without the crowd there. I think the scorecards were a lot fairer and a lot more, you wouldn't really argue with them, what we've seen in Brazil in the past. And I think that might have...
What do you mean? Hey, what the hell are you saying about the prestigious Brazilian judges? How dare you?
It was more even and balanced than, you know, maybe previous fight cards we've seen with large, hostile Brazilian crowds. So it was just interesting to see, maybe, you know, sometimes the crowds influence the judges in what they're scoring on the cards. And I just found it really interesting. Bizarre as fuck, like, and I think we'll talk about that in a sec, obviously, what was said in the co-main event, I think it was.
It was earlier on. Demir Hadzovic and Renato Moicano. Renato says to Demir, oh, I wanted to fight longer. Then why did you submit me?
That was brilliant. Perfect. Like, line of the year, man. Absolutely line of the year. And then I don't know what other fight it was. I can't think of what it was now. And the corner advice was just mental. It was like, God is on your side or something like that. I was like, what the fuck? That's no technical advice for your fucking fighter. What the fuck is that all about? It was just fucking batshit crazy people walking out to 15,000 seater empty arena with fucking tunes blaring. Mental stuff altogether. But listen, decent card.
And not a bad night for the Europeans. But just before we get to that, Charles Oliveira, wow. Looked very good against Kevin Lee. Dominated him, I felt.
Yeah, man, it was, you know, Charles is a guy who's, you know, so good everywhere. Brilliant jiu-jitsu, you know, really good Muay Thai. He's fought everyone. He's fought fucking everyone. Like, he's fought guys at featherweight, some of the best, guys at lightweight, the best. He's only 30 years of age. Kevin Lee, on the other hand, looked terrible. I think, you know, the moment he missed weight, I was concerned about how he is mentally. And I think that is Kevin. I think it's been a very turbulent 3 or 4 years for Kevin, obviously, with Robert Fallis passing. You know, we saw how close him and Robert Follis were with the time he fought in Belfast. That was a tough one for him, and he just really hasn't sort of found his feet, and he said he might take a couple of years out now. But we don't know. Obviously, that's, you know, directly after the fight. So I think he needs to sit down and think about what he's going to do. But he looked very off. But saying that, you can't take away anything from Charles Oliveira, because it was a phenomenal performance, and he's just looking better and better. And they're going to have to give him someone good now. And I'm even thinking, if, you know, McGregor and Gaethje doesn't happen, which has been talked about, they might even do Gaethje and Charles Oliveira, because he's fought fucking everyone else, man. Like, bar the sort of top three or four guys. So you need to give him now. You need to give him something big now, definitely.
Yeah, and look, yeah, I'm sure he is primed for those big fights now. You know, very young in his career when he got some opportunities earlier on. But a beautiful left hook knockout from Gilbert Burns in the co-main event. I felt that was coming with two such evenly matched grapplers out there. Renato Moicano dealt with Demir very quickly, Hadzovic. Demir, very entertaining guy. Didn't get to show it off that night. But what about Southside's Johnny Walker going down to Nikita Krylov? Dominated, you might say, by the Ukrainian.
Yeah, it was. Listen, I don't know where Johnny's at. I think, you know, I don't agree with all this gym hopping all over the world. And I think that's never going to give you any real sort of consistency. And I think, as we said, you've debated this. I don't know if you checked it back yet or not, but Krylov just had too many tools in the locker for Johnny Walker. And
Johnny Walker,
there's a lot of improvement needed for Johnny Walker, to be honest. And I think we've seen the holes in his game, and Krylov exploited them.
Shocker as Trinaldo beats McDessie by decision. Moreno v. Formiga was a great fight.
Great stuff.
Ribas, great performance against Randy Marcos. Zaleski dos Santos and Alexei Konchenko could have went either way for me. Konchenko proving himself to be right up there with the elite. Zaleski's a guy who probably doesn't get the credit he deserves in my book. I think he was similar to Leon Edwards there with his streak at the welterweight division, and it went under the radar. The only person I saw talking about it was our own Guilherme Cruz. He was on a 7-fight win streak up until he met the Leech recently there in August of last year. But Konchenko was right in there with him, and it's Konchenko's maybe his second loss ever, is it? Or his first? It's his second loss ever. So I'm expecting big things from him. I'd say he's going to learn a lot from that. But in terms of Europe, going down through the list there, Moreno Moros with a nice win over Bueno Silva, and Vorak over Bruno Silva, a great performance. And Bay Malecki kicked things off with a decision win over Veronica Macedo. A mad event there, I got to say. If you want to look more into it and get the perspective from Media Row, go and check out Guilherme Cruz's post-fight show with Fernando Prates of The Athletic. Just a bizarre week for the media. And I was really gearing myself up for one this weekend, but it won't be happening, of course, because I'm not traveling to London as the event is cancelled. You felt that from last week, right? As soon as this kind of kicked up, you were like, that's not going to happen. I remember you saying it to me clearly. You were telling me not to travel.
Yeah, no, I was. I just think sort of everything really sort of kicked in, 4 or 5 days ago, maybe Thursday, Friday, when it really started getting serious. And just sort of following that and seeing the nature of what goes on with those sort of viruses. You know, I didn't want it to be that case, but obviously it's turned out to be that case. I'm no bloody doctor, as you all well know, but I just had that gut feeling, and it's just disappointing Mystic for the fighters. Yeah, some do call me Mystic McGraldinho, it is upsetting. It's upsetting for everyone, but, you know, you got to think of the bigger picture, and the bigger picture is obviously, people's health and safety, and I'm just disappointed, but I wouldn't have let you go anyway. I would have ran to the airport and just kidnapped you or something and brought you back to the south side, the hostile territory.
Sounds like a love story. And doused me in disinfectant.
And then burned you alive.
Jesus Christ. But as you were saying earlier about like Dana and wanting to put on these events, having the full focus of the world, possibly on Habib and Tony, if that does go down on April 18th, did you feel like that Brasilia event had more of an impact globally because of the lack of sport that was on over the weekend?
Yeah, definitely. I think I remember looking at the traction and online it was trending. You know, you would sometimes get the odds Fight Night trending. And it just seemed to be action. The traction on posts and things like that seemed very, very high for a UFC Fight Night card in Brasilia, because there was nothing else fucking on. I think, you know, I said to you, I had my nephew ringing me saying, oh, is there any fights on tonight? Bang, he was watching them. Other people texting me doing the same thing, any UFC on tonight, that sort of thing, because there was literally nothing else on. Everything was off. So that's what Dana wants to do, man. He wants to have that space where there's, you know, obviously there's no sports on TV, and if the UFC is on TV, it's a big, big win for Dana White, and that's why I think he's pushing so hard to have all these cards going ahead. And yeah, there was definitely more man, to a big feel to it.
From one man pushing hard to another, Graham Boylan, it is still full speed ahead for Cage Warriors 113, despite the attempts from the coronavirus and the AEG venues to shut it down. It's now happening in Manchester. As when we spoke to Graham earlier, it was still in a situation where it was going to be behind closed doors and in London. A lot has developed since this interview, but this is a great insight into Boylan's thinking ahead of this event, which is gaining a lot of steam and a lot of criticism as well, I guess, Noel.
Yeah, very similar to the sort of grief Dana White was getting during the week. You know, totally irresponsible, some people were saying, and then other people are saying, you know, just let the guys go at it, you know, because they put so much into this. Yeah, it's just hard to gauge. It's very, very similar to Dana White. And I think Graham is along those lines, adding the two UFC fights to the card as well. You know, it boosts his promotion. It puts more eyes on Cage Warriors around the world. It's very, very similar, obviously on a lesser scale. But, you know, their platform is massive on UFC Fight Pass. And as I said, having those two fights puts more eyes than ever on this Cage Warriors card, if it is to go ahead.
It is, like, I mean, he is, as we said, he's featured across all of the major websites in the sport here. You know, do you think this event happens? Like, considering even since we talked to Graham earlier, how many changes have happened? Do you think this goes ahead in Manchester as has been arranged in the last few hours?
It's like Graham is stuck in a maze and he's trying to find, obviously, not the exit. He's trying to find the end goal and get to the end there, and I think this is very much what he's doing. Like, he's gone from London to Manchester, and obviously if Manchester,
what an ace have up his sleeve. Like, I didn't even see that coming. Yeah, like I mean, it was I was on the phone talking to someone about it being cancelled. Next one, you're going to me, it's Manchester. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
what is going on?
I was just, you know, bamboozled, and I don't think Graham, as far as I'm aware, had a chance to even tell the fighter. So he's that much rabidly on it. He wants it over the line. He needs to get it done. Within 5 minutes, like, you know, some of the fighters thought it was off. Then 2 minutes later, he puts out a tweet. There was nearly guys gone out the door to get Chinese's from what I've been told. So it's just mental. It's just one of those situations. Allegedly, yeah. it's just one of those situations where it's just, we don't know what's going to happen next. We can't predict what's going to happen next. And I'm going to sit in the fence and I'm going to say the aggression and the tenacity Graham Boylan has shown, he's gonna do this at all costs. This happens on a, this is more likely to happen on a oil rig in the Irish Sea with Graham Boylan's fucking tenacity. I'll go ahead and say it will happen. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, Graham Boylan, he is a polarizing man in this community, but of course, one of the big figures in European MMA. He never fails to bring the heat when he comes on Eurobash, and today is no different, my friends. Here it is, and bear in mind, this is before the changes were made from London to Manchester and before the UFC officially cancelled their events for the next month.
He is the hardest working man in international MMA at the moment. Mr. Graham Boylan has come out with about 48 hours worth of new revelations for this Cage Warriors 113 card that will go down despite the coronavirus pandemic this Friday in London. It's behind closed doors now. We have plenty to get through here, but Graham, this must be one of the most insane weeks of your life as a promoter.
Yeah, PT, in the 15 years that I've been involved in this game, this is the craziest, most out of the ballpark situation we've been in. We've taken 100 people to Chechnya and back for shows, and we were advised not to do it. We were told to not go to the Middle East in December. We took shows to the Middle East and Jordan in December and got stuck in a snowstorm in the desert. And we're now trying to put a show on with a pandemic on with coronavirus. I mean, there is one serious book there, brother.
Oh my God, there absolutely is. And I mean, we have so much to get through here because of the changing landscape of Cage Warriors at 113 in the last week. But just this morning, you've announced that it's going to be behind closed doors. I feel like based on your social media over the last few days, I think that was something you felt would probably be inevitable. Was that a blow at all, or were you anticipating that when you announced it on Monday morning?
We were always expecting that. We were always expecting that keeping it behind closed doors was the way to go. But this situation is changing at such pace that everything that we do today is probably tore apart tomorrow, you know? We're going through it. UFC has gone through it. And we're all just kind of pulling together to make things happen and to make things work for the athletes. So, you know, there needs to be some normal in a time of chaos, you know, and there needs to be some calm and keeping things moving forward for everybody in some way, shape or form. And we're doing our bit to keep the athletes in a situation where they get to be rewarded for the last 2 months' work they've put in, you know. I train with some of these guys. I roll on the mats just like you do with some guys, you know. I have pads with some of these guys. I know what they go through, and I'm going to fight right to the last minute to get the show on for them.
Was that ever, like, I mean, is that what it came down to you? I've noticed when you're speaking about this, you said, I asked my staff, I asked the fighters, once they told me they wanted to do this, I felt like I needed to make it happen. Is that as simple as it was, Graham?
Look, it was as simple as that. And like I said, those who know me, fighters, coaches, managers, clubs, those who know me and Cage Warriors, they know we're in this and we help the athletes. We are putting the athletes first in every opportunity that we can. We're a fighter's promotion. And there is no way in hell I'm going down without a fight right to the last minute to put the show on Friday night.
Okay, let's get to the first of the several things that I need to speak to you about here. Joe McColgan versus Mason Jones. I felt like these two guys wouldn't be put together for a long time because there were two prospects in that division. They could have their own individual paths going on. But it feels as though as this kind of the virus seems to be trying to intercept the fights that are being made, Ian Dean and yourself have come up trumps with a fight like this. I mean, absolutely incredible. And would a fight like this, McColgan v. Jones, happen under normal circumstances? Or is it because of this situation where, you know, everything has to come together so quickly? I mean, that's such a good fight, Graham. Can you tell us how that one came together?
Look, it's an amazing fight, and it's a fight that we would probably not have wanted to do
right
right now. We would have liked both guys to build up a little bit more and then maybe do it. But situations happen, and this is a case of we had no idea what the travel and the restrictions were going to become on this show as the days went by. So we had to go to a point in this event organizational wise that once people started falling off the card, they had to be matched internally. They had to be matched from people in the card, or they had to be matched within the UK. Because we had no idea if we were going to be spending money on flights and organizing deals with other guys, whether they were even going to get to London. So we had to make a decision and work a process of elimination. Both guys lost their opponents. Both guys, we can get to the event. So it's a case of, we spoke to them and said, look, we understand the situation, but we're in a pandemic where the world is trying to stop. We understand these are not ideal circumstances. You guys have got to decide what you want to do. And I said, to make this more appealing to you, I've spoken to all my board at Cage Warriors, and I've said, if we're going to offer them a fight to compete against each other, you have to give them the vacant belt. You have to give it to them as their reward for these circumstances that are upon us, you know. For all we know, there may not be another proper event where guys are training in gyms and competing for another 3 or 4 months.
Yes.
You know, so these guys need to be rewarded, and the belt is vacant. There's two lightweights there who are, one is a number one contender for the belt. The other one we're looking to develop. And it's a case of, you know, the opportunity is there. We're in this situation. If you guys want to do it, we're up for it. They said yes. We said yes. The fight's on.
I love it, and I'd love to talk about it even more, but I need to get through these things. There's so many. Paddy Pimblett v. Decky Dalton is another ridiculous fight. It's absolutely ridiculous. I like it more than I like the two previous bouts, even. And of course, Donovan Desme is an unbelievable fight as well. And you had David Martinez, who was unable to travel due to the curfew that's been put in place in Italy. But Paddy v. Dalton. So say Joe and Mason, whoever wins that fight, is it likely that if Paddy has his hand raised, he'll be the next in line to fight for that title?
No, they're down the line. We can't answer those questions right now. But, you know, Paddy fighting Decky, and Decky stepping up at short notice, and both guys agreeing to the fight. You know, again, it was another situation where this pandemic has caused. You know, it's a case of, do you want this fight or do you not want to fight? Because everyone's back is against the wall right now. And if any fights fall off this card in the coming days, it's going to be the same thing. They're only going to be matched with who's on the card as we stand right now. Because trying to get guys to compete in this situation, when we would normally get guys all over Europe and they can't travel, you know, it's tough times. And it's fight or don't. And the guys make their decisions based on what they want to do with our coaches.
Can you tell me how it came to be that... you know, that you have begun to kind of facilitate these UFC fights? Obviously, the Phillips fight has been announced already. I know you already have another one confirmed, but can you just tell me how that came to be? I know you have a great relationship with the UFC, obviously, and Dana White, who you were over visiting during just a couple of months back. How did that come to be, Graham, if you don't mind me asking?
I woke up Sunday morning like everybody else to see the cancellation. I was surprised as anyone. And I just thought, you know what? Fuck this. I've got the venue set up. I've got the broadcast. Everything is ready to go. We can just put these fights on for the UFC and we can help them out by keeping the card together. So I made some calls. There was some more calls. There was a couple of meetings. There was some more calls. And we just said, let's work together and get what we can done.
Is that exciting for you, having the likes of Phillips here? And obviously you have another fight there in the back burner that you aren't telling us about yet. But I mean, is that exciting for you, or do you even have time to get excited in this crazy situation?
Look, it's a situation, like I said, it's so fast evolving. At the moment, we have 17 pro fights for Friday night. That's including the two UFC fights.
Jesus.
Now, we're starting at probably 5 o'clock. It's behind closed doors. It's going to be a very different type of event. Come Friday, that 17 pro fight could very easily be 10.
Absolutely.
Because there's border restrictions in some countries, so we just got to find out what's going on.
Any way you could tell us what the second fight is? You know, this isn't coming out till tomorrow, so maybe you know, it will be okay. You'll already have announced by then. Any chance of letting us know?
Yeah, I could.
Ah, please.
Well, seeing as you said, please, I'll do it. So we're... We have verbally agreed with both sides, and this is all travel dependent. For London's Darren Stewart to compete against Bartosz Fabrinsky, who is stepping up to middleweight to fight.
Wow. So Darren returns to Cage Warriors here. This is incredible.
Well, he's fighting his...
Yeah, I know. UFC, I know. He's in his UFC contract, right? But he'll be back in the house. That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, and like I said, look, everything is travel dependent.
Yes, of course.
We've locked this in. We've got this going, and this could all fall apart with travel. So at the moment, there's two on, and that could very easily become one. It could become none. But we're working round the clock to try and beat everything against the odds to make this happen.
I just wonder, you know, you were talking about UK v UK earlier, and I know obviously Joy was set for his debut at UFC London. With both Joy and Mark being in the UK, is there a likelihood that could happen, or do you not know about that at this time? Is that not something you're working on at the moment?
No, both guys have already stopped cutting weight by the time we actually make green lights on both sides to actually start making things happen.
Right. I understand.
So that fight's off.
Okay. How confident are you that this will go down, Graham? Or is that like, I mean, from a guy in your position, you know, with all these moving pieces, is that the last thing in your mind? Are you just putting that to the back of your mind and acting as if it's going ahead and not worrying about maybe government legislation or government getting involved and causing calling a stop to this?
it will take tanks and trucks and lots of men with guns to stop this event going on.
Jesus. what do you say to those who say, like, you know, you're risking the health of your athletes and staff by doing this?
Okay, look, there's a very... I'm not a doctor, mate, and I'm not going to get into all this, but you know what? There's 10 fucking million people on the tube every day. The tubes are still running. The buses are still running. Everyone's still in London. Everyone's still working. We're going to make this and go along the precautions and the guidelines that we're being advised by the government. We're going to keep it behind closed doors. Everyone's going to get geared up. We're going to be washing hands, keeping distancing. It's a closed event. You know, we're going to do everything we can within the guidelines. Our medics are going to be all over it. Our medics are going to be testing the fighters for any kind of symptoms. We're going to do what we can to move forward with this event.
You know, I think a lot of people don't understand, say, the likes of a Bellator or a UFC that have this huge financial backers. Like, it's these guys can compensate for it as they haven't even fought. But I mean, Cage Warriors, you started this from grassroots. You've built it up to what it is. Like, I mean, the event needs to go down for these people to get paid. Is that accurate to say?
We're not the wallet of Viacom, and we're not the wallet of the UFC. Yes. We're a homegrown promotion. We're an Irish promotion based in London. We've come from the fields and the villages, PT.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And we're in the Big Apple right now, and you know, the show has to go on. We have to work this, and we have to make this happen. You know, we'll still make sure everybody is looked after, but you know, the show goes on. Not having people in there and all the refunds, we have a sold out event. There isn't a single ticket left. There hasn't been for nearly 7 weeks. We're going to have to refund all that money. You know, all that money is going back to the fans. So, and like I said, we're not the wallet of Viacom or the UFC. So our backs are against the wall as well as everybody else in an economic downturn like this. We're just going to do our best just to keep it all together.
I'll ask you to just put on another one of your hats just briefly, Graeme, while I ask. We were speaking to Jack Shore earlier as well. I think a lot of the UFC fighters, they are expecting to be compensated. They don't have any doubt that will happen. Obviously, we don't know what amounts and et cetera like that. I know they're up to their eyeballs at the moment trying to make their events happen as well. But as a manager, are you confident that the fighters that were booked to fight on UFC London will be compensated in some way, shape or form by the organization when things settle down?
Some way, shape or form when things settle down, I'm sure there'll be something there, mate. I don't think they'll do that. So I think some way, shape or form, they'll come out and do what they're going to do.
Well, Graeme, I can only thank you for getting on speaking to us. I know you're up to your eyeballs. You've probably missed about 17 calls just speaking to me for these 10 minutes or so. So I really appreciate it. And I can't wait to see if it goes down on Friday or not. Like, this will be huge, right? If it does happen, I mean, you have the lion's share of the interest in terms of sport, right? Is that how you're seeing it?
I would think we would be the only live sporting event broadcasted around the world Friday night.
That's a pretty big deal, right?
It is a big deal, yeah. But, you know, our priority right now is to get the guys in and make sure everyone's okay, have the medics check everybody for what they need to check them for, and get on with the show.
You're a gentleman, Mr. Boylan. Thank you so much. I'll speak to you soon.
Take care, my man. Look after yourself.
He knows how to get the juices flowing, doesn't he? Let's be honest.
He does. Another international man of mystery, like Martin Lewandowski.
Yeah.
They should really him and Dana as well, and you know, throw in Victor Kui or Chatri, and you'd have a quite international sort of James Bond, gangster sort of feel to a lot of it, wouldn't you?
Nah, it'd be some game of poker to watch, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ, yeah. But I'll give him one thing. He's, you know, he works his arse off, and listen, you got to admire that. You got to admire the sheer determination he's going through to put this fight card on. It's admirable, but maybe a little bit mental as well at the same time.
It's crazy. It's like you said it perfectly earlier on. The first time we talked about this, we were talking about the lunacy that kind of coexists with glory in MMA nearly. You know what I mean? It's like it's the sport is nearly born out of things like this. You know what I mean?
You know where that comes from? It comes from the, in a lot of areas, and maybe more so in Europe, it comes from the disrespect the mainstream media probably have shown the sport, and, you know, telling you, oh, this sport's that, whatever. There's always that sort of resilience, I think, with mixed martial arts promoters and people involved in the sport. And rightly so, in my opinion. That's a whole different debate for a different day. But I think that's generally where it comes from.
What do you mean? Like, as in they're kind of railing against what the norm is, say, across the sporting terrain in general?
Yeah, to a certain extent, yeah. And it's to maybe even with Dana doing what he's doing and trying to get Tony Habib over the line, it's to show that this sport is, you know, it's great. These guys are fighters, battlers. It's admirable in many ways, but yet just total madness at the same time. And I think maybe that's part of the reason why these guys do this.
And look, they often say, like, if a promoter is being talked about, he's doing his job, right? But it's just that we don't understand the scale of this, I guess. And only in hindsight we'll be able to look back and really consider if this is a good idea or a bad idea or what's going on. But I mean, you know, these guys aren't scientists either, I guess, you know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. And there's so many mixed messages. But I do feel as though people have yet to grasp the scale of this, you know?
Yeah, man, it's only just starting. And, you know, that's sort of the worrying thing for me. We're seeing so many new cases of it and so many people being affected all over the planet. It's fucking scary. And, you know, as we talked about, you know, most people alive have never lived like anything through this. So it's new ground for everyone. It's scary ground. I'm sort of going, fuck, have I woken up yet still? Are we in a dream? It's all a little bit surreal. You know, being stuck indoors and shit like that. So, you know, it's maybe forgive them as well for pushing on. Maybe they don't really, haven't had a chance to breathe and assess and look at how bad this actually is. And that sort of says to me this evening that maybe Dana White has sort of realised, shit, this is pretty fucking serious, because we know these guys,
Well, it sounded to me like his hand was forced, to be honest, you know?
Yeah. Well, listen, like, you know, he's good pals with Donald Trump as well, like, you know. Don't let that be forgotten. So if Donald's telling him not to do fights, I'm sure there was a good reason behind it. You know what I mean?
I think it was just Donald Trump's address to the nation, no?
Yeah, but, it probably was. But they are good pals, the pair. So yeah. You never know.
Well, if this event goes ahead, it's a big one for John McColgan. I mean, it feels as though Rhys McKee was the only guy that was being talked about in terms of a possible signing before UFC Dublin. And that was mostly based around the fact that he was fighting for the Cage Warriors title on May 16th in Belfast. However, with everything that's happened, John McColgan from Northern Ireland is now fighting for the lightweight title against Mason Jones. If he does this and claims the lightweight title, maybe gets a defense in Belfast, is he level pegging with Rhys McKee to be signed by the UFC, do you feel?
100%. I think, you know, we talk about it. Once you get that strap, you're the man, you're the guy in that division in Europe, and the UFC's eyes are on you. And I think, you know, if McColgan goes out and, you know, Joe's never backed away from anyone. Look at his record. Look at Mason Jones's record, another guy who's never backed away from anyone. And this is a sensational fight in paper. I'm clearly, this is the fight I'm most excited about, I have to say. And if he goes out and does this, does it in impressive fashion. And I think, you know, even just to beat Mason Jones is an incredible achievement, because he's been so amazing from what we've seen up to now. Of course it does. It puts him right in the shot window. You know, even if, forget Belfast, he mightn't even have to defend the belt, because they're going to look, they're going to want, they're going to be aware if he wins of Irish talent. And that's what they want. They want a couple, 2 to 3 local guys on the card to really sort of get it over the line. And I wouldn't be surprised if that is the case. Definitely.
Right, let's leave it over to Fat Joe. I tried to say Fat Joe. I stuttered because I was very apprehensive about saying it. But did you listen to the interview yet?
I did. Yeah, I heard the end of it, Pete. He said he's gonna walk out to Fat Joe, but he said that before. But he better do. He better do.
Yeah. Be beautiful.
He better do it.
Not a dry eye in sight. But yeah, let's leave it to Joe, one of the favourites of Eurobash, of course, and we'll be back in 15. What's love?
There have been some big pitfalls over the last week due to the coronavirus spread, but my word, if a man has come away with an even bigger fight than he had initially, it is Joe McColgan, a friend of the show, a man who has been putting in the work on the Irish scene for many, many years. He now faces Mason Jones for the vacant lightweight title at Cage Warriors 113 in London, which will take place behind closed doors. Joe, this must be absolutely insane. I can only imagine how this feels. You've had a lot, the goalposts changed on you a few times here in terms of opponents. You're now fighting for one of the most valued titles in Europe. How crazy has this been with everything going on around us?
It's so crazy. I can't even describe in words how crazy it is. and that's not even a joke. I literally can't. It's been the most mental weekend of my life. It started on Friday, and already on Friday I was unsure about whether the fight would go ahead. And then I was in work and I got a call from my coach Shando, and I was just thinking, oh, for flip's sake, this is, the fight's falling through. And then he basically said, Rafael Masato's out, but they're offering you Mason Jones. And I was like, right, okay. And he says, but that's not it. They're offering it for the world title. And I just couldn't believe it. Like,
wow.
I still can't believe it. Yeah, at that point, the fight was made. I think contracts were signed within 30 minutes after that. And then it was announced. It was really, really quick. And now over the weekend, there's all this uncertainty about whether the fight would go ahead. So I just got the opportunity of a lifetime. And then I feel like, well, I felt like it was slipping away over the weekend. And then Green would add in updates, and then there'd be updates from the news. And it was just a back and forth. Honestly, I can't describe how mentally stressful it's all been. But I feel like today, when I woke up this morning, I saw the updates that Cage Warriors are going to be behind closed doors. And they've added on some UFC fights to the card. I feel like I'm feeling a lot more confident that the fight is actually going to go ahead.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, you know, to take the public away to kind of limit the risk there is a good idea on their part. So, I mean, it's just, you know, so you're saying your first opponent was out, and basically you had the news of Mason immediately. Like, I mean, he was out and Mason was in. That was the phone call you got, or were you kind of left for a long time without an opponent?
No, it was a 3-minute phone call.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Mason's in and the world title's up for grabs, so that was it. Like, it was really, really cool.
The response was unbelievable, right? Like, I mean, straight away when I'm thinking about you two guys and the way his fight, like, this is a ridiculous, ridiculous matchup. Is that what you were always thinking when you were kind of thinking about Mason as a potential opponent? And what did you make of that outpouring of emotion? It seemed like everybody was really rejoicing in the fact that this fight had come to be.
Yeah, no, like, I think that's with all my fights, PT. I think that I can't remember a fight that hasn't been made where everyone said, oh shit, that's an amazing fight. And I think that's because I bring it every single time. I've got an exciting style. And I think this is even more so because Mason has also got an exciting style. So we're very similar. We're very similar fighters. We're both durable. We've both got good stand-up. We're all-rounders, but we like the stand and strike. And we can fight with a high pace and a high intensity. So, I mean, you add that all in, both fighters, and it's just going to, like, I can't see it not being a war, to be honest with you. Like, it's going to be a great fight. And I think that's why the public have really got behind it. And also with the added extra of the world titles on the line. So it's a high-risk fight. High-risk, high-reward fight.
Yeah,
like all of my fights.
Yeah, yes, of course. There's so much, there's so many layers to this. I've literally made a list in front of myself so I can get through it all. But yeah, how do you think Paddy Pimblett feels about not getting the opportunity to fight for the title? I mean, he is a guy that we've talked about before, Joe, a guy synonymous with Cage Warriors, a synonymous champion with Cage Warriors. And here's two guys, you know, rivals in his division that have been paired together for this title. How do you think that's sitting with him?
I don't actually know. I haven't seen or haven't heard anything that he said about the fight. So I would say he's probably pissed off. You know, he wants to fight for the title, but he knows he's been out for so long and he's coming off a loss. But he also knows that he's probably going to fight the winner of this. So I'm sure initially he was probably annoyed, but you know, after the fight, he's going to be getting the title. He's no doubt he's going to be getting the shot, but he has to get through Jackie Dalton. And actually, I don't know if he can do that because Jackie Dalton is an absolute beast.
I wanted to ask you about Decky because there's a fantastic mythology around Decky, right, in Ireland. I mean, it's been going on for over a decade. Me and you have had this conversation many times about Decky. He's one of these guys that had, like, you know, was kind of talked about in Northern Ireland and in the South when he started fighting down here, is this ridiculous potential. This guy can go all the way. He hits like a hammer. You know, he has a fantastic fight IQ. You hear so many things about him from his training partners. And one of the people that's always been and talking really, really highly about Decky is, of course, you, Joe. So I was just wondering, would you be able to explain to the listeners the kind of mythology around Decky and what he means to the fight scene up there?
Well, Decky's huge in Ireland, and especially in Belfast. You know, you will hear the chance Decky's going to get you whenever he's walking out the cage and whenever he's in the cage fighting. But Decky, you kind of touched on it a wee bit. He hits so hard. I hate sparring him. Anybody from any gym, anyone that has ever sparred him has said the same thing. He hits so hard. But if you look at Decky's record, he doesn't have knockouts on it. So that's the worst thing. You have a guy that hits you so hard, but it's not hard enough to knock you out. It's just under that knockout level, under the death touch level, where it's so powerful. Yeah, and you just get to feel all that pain, you know, and there's no switch off. It's like, I suppose, a bit like Nick Diaz. You know, you look at guys that come out of his fight and they're just black and blue. So he hits so hard. I know you look at his record and there's some losses to the good guys there, so you might think, oh, he doesn't beat the good guys. But those losses came in a period where Decky wasn't with us. He wasn't with the gym. He was traveling about in other different gyms. But now he's back with us. He's in a really good headspace and he looks electric in training. And, you know, his record since coming back from those other gyms, and he's now with us, he's unbeaten. So he's on a tear. He's looking great in training. And I just see that this fight is going to go all his way. I explained this before to somebody else that Decky, so whenever Paddy Pimblett fights, he doesn't, like when he's on the feet, he doesn't move like really fast in and out or at angles. It's kind of like a plodding forward or a plodding back or plodding side to side. And that's fine. But Decky also has that rhythm. And Decky, that is, and whenever it's in Decky's arena, whenever in the stand up, he is in that rhythm and he is better than anybody in that rhythm. So I just feel like as long as the fight stays standing, Decky's just going to light him up with shots and he's going to hurt Paddy. Yes. But listen, Paddy's dangerous in other areas of the game. You know, he can throw submissions on from any angle. He's got good takedowns. He's got very good grappling. So it's going to be an amazing fight. And, you know, I think it's two fights on before mine, but I'm going to be glued to the TV watching it.
That's amazing. That's sold it to me more than anyone else will, Joe. That's I do love the fight. I think it's Ian Dean again's done an amazing job with you and Paddy there. But, you know, let's just put this into context here, Joe. This is kind of come out of nowhere. There's big talk of this Belfast event in May, of course, with Rhys McKee fighting for the world title there. You have an opportunity to fight for a world title on Friday night. As we know, when you get those titles, they're considered golden tickets to the UFC. There happens to be a UFC event scheduled for Dublin, excuse me, in August. Do you see the jigsaw pieces falling into place here, or is this just me? Because it seems to me that you could be setting yourself up for an absolutely astronomical 2020. Would you agree with me?
Yeah, I could be. I'm trying not to think about it. I don't want to look beyond this fight against Mason Jones because it's a massive fight and there's a lot on the line and it's going to be a tough test. So I don't really want to look beyond that, but I can definitely see the potential of getting signed to the UFC. In a fight's time after this, or if not, just directly after this fight. Because the UFC, they're coming to Dublin, and obviously there's the Belfast card. I don't know if I'll be able to fight on that Belfast card. If this fight goes five rounds, you know, it might be a too quick of a turnaround to show up there. So it could all work out that I beat Mason, I get the title, and then the UFC sign me, and my next fight is in August.
That would be incredible. For my is Rhys going to be ashamed? Is Rhys going to be annoyed with you guys for stealing his thunder like this?
Ah, Rhys, Let me tell you something about Reese. There's a lot of people in MMA that will tell you that they're happy for you. And behind your back, they might say otherwise. Reese is not one of those people. Reese is a supporter of everyone. It doesn't matter if you're his competition, if you're in the same weight class, he wants you to do well, almost more so than he wants to do well for himself. So he honestly has been so happy for me. And he'll definitely not be annoyed. He doesn't need to be annoyed because he has so much support. And he's on such a streak himself that, you know, we're in two different weight classes. He can't be annoyed. He isn't. He's just so happy for me.
McColgan v. McKee, Belfast, May. That's what I'm saying. That's what they should go. just a few quick ones for you here, Joe, because I got to ask, like, I mean, there has been some criticism. I mean, is this socially responsible for Cage Warriors to hold an event now? I know, obviously, since that argument was brought up, the goalposts have changed. This event is now happening behind closed doors. But, you know, guys like you are going to be flying into this event. There is some danger element there, I suppose, with this with the contagious nature of coronavirus. Do you have any feelings on that, or are you just pretty much focused on your fight at the moment?
Yeah, I'm focused on the fight, but I do feel like there is an element of worry in my head where I'm weakening my immune system here to cut a lot of weight. And then I'm flying into an airport. I'm getting public transport to a hotel. I'm going into the gym sauna. And then I come out, went in, and then obviously then I go fight another man. Potentially, you know, we could go to hospital afterwards, and then we're back in public transport, and then, you know, all through the airport. I mean, I'm exposing myself to a lot of different places and a lot of different people, all with a very weakened immune system. So I feel like there is an increased risk. And then also with my coaches flying over. So there is an element of worry, but, you know, we're fighting in a cage. this is all risk. You know what I mean? This is just part of it. And it's our job, and we just get on with it.
Yeah, it's not really a trade for the most cautious people in the world, you'd imagine, I suppose. Is there any fear you won't get home though, Joe? Like, I mean, that's what I'd be worried about in terms of, like, you know, you have to get a flight home. Is there any way that you're kind of like, you know, what if I need to, you know, they stop the flights between Northern Ireland and England? I'm sure you've seen the many WhatsApp rumors that are floating around, cuz I've been inundated with them. Is there any fear of that at all?
As in I haven't heard any rumors, or I haven't heard any chat about flight being stopped, so it wasn't on my mind. But why? What are these WhatsApp messages saying?
No, I mean, everybody knows a Garda or a pilot or a doctor. Yeah, you know, these random messages that come through. Yeah, don't want to get anyone afraid, but I know God, and He said, you know what I mean, that kind of shit. But no, don't worry about that. But I mean, are you confident the fight will happen finally? Like, I mean, have you been able to kind of get rid of that doubt in your head and say, like, this is happening, I'm going there on Wednesday, and I'm going to fight this man on Friday? Have you been able to eliminate that doubt from your head, seeing how much Cage Warriors are working for this behind the scenes? Because it seems like Graham Boylan isn't even sleeping anymore.
Yeah, I'm not looking up the news. I'm not even on Twitter anymore or Instagram when I should be trying to promote the fight. But I just can't let my see all these different stories about a lot of things shutting down, or what the government are saying, or rumors that Cage Warriors aren't going to go ahead, because that gets in them away my way of focusing on the fight. And, you know, I'm training, I'm trying to focus in on having the biggest fight of my life. I can't let any of that shit in. So yesterday I just made the decision to not pay attention to any of it, and just to get tunnel vision now. And I'm there already. Like, I'm in the zone now, and I'm just going to continue to be in the zone until Graham phones me up and says, Joe, it's not on. So I'm full steam ahead. I think it's going to happen. I'm 100% confident it's going to happen.
Just finally, if I don't ask, Noel McGrath's going to get very upset with me. Are you going to come out to Fat Joe What's Love if this does go down on Friday?
Of course.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. That's amazing. There's no better way to end this, Joe McColgan. I'm delighted for you. Everyone in Ireland's very happy with this fight. They're jumping through hoops waiting for it to happen on Friday. I hope it does go down. And a pleasure as always to speak to you, my friend.
No, thanks very much for having me on, PT. Loving it. Thank you.
Talk to you soon, man. Be safe.
The great Fat Joe McColgan, who fights for the Cage Warriors lightweight title this weekend against another fantastic young talent in Mason Jones. When is this madness going to end, Niall? I want you to give me a scale of time as to when this will be over. You predicted that UFC London would be cancelled.
Is this
you predicted all these wild things.
Mystic Magraldino prediction.
Yeah, yes. Please.
I'm going to say 2 months. And I think if that's, you know, everyone needs to pull together, do what the government say, and really just start looking after each other, helping each other, and helping each other in this unfortunate case is probably staying away from each other. And yeah, listen, people, just get your shit together. Listen to your government and just fucking do it, because otherwise we could be in for a very, very long and painful road, and I don't want to see that happen. So I'm going to be positive. I'm going to say 2 months and we'll be back to normal. Fingers crossed.
Everybody keep washing your hands. Keep not touching people. Yeah, don't be in a room with many people. And also, like, calm down. Like, we're all freaking out thinking we have it all the time if we get, like, a tickle.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, I have a sore foot. I must have coronavirus. You know, that's happening an awful lot as well, I feel.
It is, yeah. And I've been the same. And I think, you know, mental
health. Oh, everyone I've talked to is the same. Everyone feels like they have it, you know?
The mental health's important as well. You need to just, anxiety's a big thing. And just try and just chill the fuck out. And, you know, we'll get through it. I'm positive of that. And Mystic Mac makes that prediction. So hopefully, you know, Eurobash is going to be here every week. So that's all you need to fucking worry about. Sit indoors, listen to Eurobash, get a few fucking cans. You're so did.
Even if we get the corona, we're going to do it.
Yeah, of course we are. That's what we always do.
Well, we've had worse.
But there's going to be, the only thing is that the knock on for this, there's going to be a lot of corona babies. You know.
Oh my.
It's a fact.
Tell me about these corona babies.
Like, Tinder's lighting up left and right and people are just stuck in their houses. Like, what else are they going to be doing? Like, if boyfriend and girlfriend, they're going to be fornicating. Let's be fucking honest about it.
Is it?
There's going to be a blast of babies after. Like, what is it? What month is it now? All right. So we started. Okay. So say December, right? There's going to be fucking babies left, right, center all over the world. The population's going to probably treble. And we're all fucked.
Is it Armageddon riding?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. That's what people are thinking, yeah. 100%. And listen, just lack of fucking things to fucking do. Boredom is going to be a massive thing.
Have you been on Tinder yourself? Have you connected with many ladies?
I have, but
there's
no point. I'm not going to go meet anyone, you know? So I've been staying off it now, to be honest with you, but it's always lighting up.
So it sounds like you're teasing yourself.
I am a little bit, but like, what am I going to do? I'm not taking the risk leaving the fucking house. Fuck that shit.
What if there's a chance of the cup spoiler?
The cup shocker, you fucking idiot. Get it right.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
There's always that chance, Petey. You know, I'm hot shit. Like, but
tell me it again. This is the way McGrath approaches. He only goes for worldies. It's his. It's always been the way he has since I know him. And. What, tell me about the philosophy.
Sometimes
there,
it's like an FA Cup tie. We've seen, you know, over the years, conference teams beat a first division team or a Premier League division team once in a blue moon, right? That's how I look at it. Like, I'm probably conference, maybe League One, Two, maybe League Two, and I go for Premier League. There's nothing wrong with that. You keep shooting, you keep shooting, you'll fucking score. Get in with it. That's how you fucking roll. Do you know what I mean? Cup shot.
And we all need to think more like cup shockers in this time of pessimism, I believe. I think it's a good way to approach it. You know, make sure you send us the hashtag cup shocker. We are ready to do this together and truly embrace the mentality of the cup shocker. Thanks for sharing that with us, Noel. You don't get the credit you deserve as a philosopher, I feel.
I don't. You know, I'm full of great theories and shit like that. You know what I mean? So, fuck you all if you ain't down. If you ain't down with it, you know, fuck you. I'm always right. Even when I fucking tell the truth, I lie. So, you know, you know what I fucking mean. Other way around, but yeah. Jeez. This is gonna be bonkers.
This is you don't understand, guys. This is like hours of recording today. Like, I mean, we did one episode and I tried to do an intro for it and hopefully that would be like a disclaimer and we can't do that. Everything's changed. Like, is this going to be old by the time, like, is this going to be way behind by the time it's injected into people's faces in 4 hours' time or whatever?
Of course, because, you know, shit has been changing literally by the fucking every 5 minutes in the world of mixed martial arts tonight. So everything will be cancelled.
I started work this morning at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
15 hours in.
Yeah, I'm pretty fucking tired myself as well. I was on taxi at 9. And
you've had a long one yourself. Oh, you've had a long day, my friend.
I'm not finished. I'll be another 2 hours yet, so it should be fun. Fucking fuck. I tell you what, Petey. Fuck MMA.
Have lots of oranges. Eat vitamin C. This is your audio broccoli, so you've already got one of your five a day. Make sure you're not shaking hands. Use the old elbow touch-a-rooney. Or else just don't talk to people. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to stay in here. Elaine's got the dog over and horse. And I'll see you in 2 months. I'm just going to keep on logging onto this every week and doing this. That's going to be my only communication with the outside world. I hope you all stay safe and wash your hands. It's very easy and they smell lovely afterwards.